Oz the Year, recreating notable events of passing time, reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of a modern world. ...1933, that was the year.
You have made my heart full. God bless you all.
With tears streaming over his grease-painted face, 66-year-old baritone Antonio Scotti bids farewell to his last audience at the Metropolitan Opera House, New York, on January 20. As Lawrence Tibbett leads the audience in singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, Scotty makes for his dressing room, there to find the woman with whom he'd made his debut at the Metropolitan 33 years before, Marcella Sembrick, now aging, partly blind.
Is that you, Scotty?
Yes, Sembrick.
Oh, Scotty, you are an artist. Always. You could not have been better than today, anytime.
Oh, dear lady, I have never sung as well since you were left.
1933, that was the year. Washington, D.C., January 23. On this day, the 20th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution became law, advancing the inauguration date of the president from March to January, abolishing the so-called lame duck session of Congress. Congressional leaders were almost unanimous in approval.
Nebraska Senator and Republican leader George W. Norris.
The enactment of this amendment is a great step toward placing the control of our government in the hands of the chosen representatives of the American people.
Speaker of the House and Vice President-elect John Nance Garner.
It will give Congress a better opportunity to pass legislation. Under the present system, the short session is a hubbub of excitement over what you can and cannot do in the few days allowed.
Republican Senator Hiram Johnson of California.
This will eliminate do-nothing sessions with which, to our regret, we have become all too familiar.
1933, that was the year.
Berlin, Germany, January 30. While Nazi stormtroopers parade in a command torchlight procession, Adolf Hitler, appointed today to the position of Chancellor, issues his first proclamation.
By placing power in our hands, President von Hindenburg shows he has not lost contact with German youth and realizes that only the vigor of youth can restore Germany's greatness. The fight for government is ended. Now begins the government's bigger struggle for the German people. We know it will be victorious.
1 month later, all constitutional guarantees, including property rights, personal liberty, freedom of the press, secrecy of the mails, and the right to assemble, were suspended. And on March 21, the Reichstag gave to Hitler's Nazi government complete blanket powers for 4 years.
1933. That was the year.
Miami, Florida, February 15. As hundreds of citizens of this city pay respect to President-elect Franklin Delano Roosevelt, watch him admiringly as he smiles and bows to them from the tonneau of his car, they notice him wave particularly to his old friend, Anton Cermak, mayor of Chicago. Among the spectators is Mrs. William F. Cross, wife of a Miami physician, who, to see the president-elect the better, stands on a bench. The bench almost falls under poorly distributed weight of others near her, and she turns to see...
What are you doing? Put down that gun!
Let me go!
Later, in a Miami jail cell, Sheriff Dan Hardy interviews bricklayer Giuseppe Zangara, native of Ferruzzano, Italy.
Well, Zangara, you know you wounded 5 people, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
And you know that Mayor Cermak's condition is very serious.
He never told me.
Why do you want to kill Zangara?
Well, I like Mr. Roosevelt as a man. As a president, I want to kill him. I want to kill all of the presidents. And a year ago in Italy, I want to kill the king, but I no good together to him.
But you can't kill all rulers. What are you, an anarchist?
No, I no belong to any society. Sometime I get a bigger pain in my stomach from this place, see, where I was born in brick factory. When I get the pains, I want to kill all presidents. That's all.
By 5 days later, on February 20th, Zangara pleaded guilty to attempting to kill and received sentence.
Giuseppe Zangara, I sentence you to 80 years of penal servitude in state's prison at hard labor.
80 years? Don't be a stingy, George. Give me 100 a year.
On March 6th, Mayor Anton Cermak died from the effects of the bullet. And immediately, Zangara was indicted for murder. Pleading guilty, he was sentenced to death and went to the chair March 20. So, it was with heavy heart that 2 days after his inauguration, with news of the passing of his friend fresh in his memory, President Roosevelt undertook to untangle the web of the nation's financial dilemma. Issued a proclamation under the Wartime Act of 1917.
From Monday, the 6th day of March, to Thursday, the 9th day of March, 1933, both dates inclusive, they shall be maintained and observed by all banking institutions and all branches thereof located in the United States of America, including the territories and insular possessions, a bank holiday, and that during said period, all banking transactions shall be suspended.
On March 13, the reopening of the nation's banks began, and by March 15, more than $300 million in hoarded gold had been returned to the banks. Stocks on the New York Stock Exchange soared $2 to $16 a share. Financial confidence in the United States had been restored.
1933, that was the year.
Long Beach, California, March 10. A family sit at dinner.
Tom, more potatoes?
Oh, no, thanks, Lucy. Well, that was a swell dinner.
Well, I think I'll have an... Tom, don't shake the table like that. Why...
Lucy, quit. It's an earthquake.
Striking throughout all Southern California, sending thousands scurrying into streets and parks, toppling buildings over as though made of toy blocks, this earthquake killed at least 120 persons, did damage to the extent of more than $40 million. With undaunted courage, however, as soon as the last trembler died away 2 days later, the people of the Pacific Southwest began building anew the homes, the schools, the factories, the mercantile buildings, the churches which had been demolished. And within a year, not a sign of the catastrophe remained, save the heartaches of those bereaved, and a series of new and stringent earthquake-proof building laws.
1933. That was the year?
April 4. In the radio room of the German tanker, the steamship Phoebus at sea, off the New Jersey coast.
Airship Akron, with 77 men aboard, went down. Wrecked near Barnegat Light. Keep sharp lookout. We are 20 miles from Barnegat Light now. Chief officer and 3 men saved. On board Phoebus are Wiley, Irwin, Dale, all in good condition. Copeland, chief radio man, condition serious.
Later, Lieutenant Commander Herbert V. Wiley, executive officer of the ill-fated dirigible Akron, dispatches his tersely dramatic report.
Surrounded by lightning at Barnegat Light. Kept easterly course until 11 p.m., then changed course for shore. Ship began to descend rapidly from flying altitude. Dropped ballast forward and regained altitude. 3 minutes later, seemed to be in center of storm. Ship began to shift about violently. Called all hands. Ship commenced to descend. Stern inclined downward. Dropped ballast. Rudder control carried away. Descent continued to water. Ship demolished upon impact. In lightning flash, saw men swimming. Wreckage drifted rapidly away. Discipline and controlled car perfect. Wiley.
Later the same day, the non-rigid airship J-3, attempting to land after searching for Akron survivors, was carried a half mile out to sea by the driving storm. Wrecked, carrying 2 of its crew of 7 to death. 17 days later, the Macon, sister ship of the Akron, made her maiden flight under the command of Rear Admiral George C. Day. Said Admiral Day,
the ship handled well underway. We were able to conduct very successful trials.
1933. That was the year.
That on December 6th, throughout the U.S., many a citizen arose with glassy eyes and aching head. For the night before, Utah had become the 36th state to ratify the 21st Amendment to the Constitution, repealing the 18th Amendment, voiding the Volstead Act, legalizing the sale and transportation of spirituous liquors. America's noble experiment had become an admitted failure.
That was the year.
And you were shuffling along to this Afro-American popular tune.
Long as there is chicken gravy on your eyes, then everything is nice. Long as there is watermelon on the vine, then everything is fine. You've got no time to work.
You've got no time to play.
Diggy-doo and on and on. long and live long day. Busy doing nothing all the live long day.
Cause you're just made and made.
Lazy folks, sleeping in the sun. How you expect to get your day's work done?
Never get your day's work done.
Sleeping in the noonday sun. Lazy bones, sleeping in the shade. How you expect to get your cornmeal made?
Never get your cornmeal made.
Sleeping in the evening shade.
When Taylor, he's praying, I bet you he's praying, the bugs fall off of the vine. And when you go fishing, I bet you keep wishing,
the fish won't grab at your line. Lazy bones, loping through the day. How you expect to make a dime that way?
Never make a dime that way.
You never.